Okay, so we are now starting Perek Tetvav, which is the beginning of the second round of speeches. Eliphaz comes back and presents again, and obviously our question is to understand what his chidush is this time, how it relates to what he said before, etc. So the first thing you notice when you take a look at this Perek is that he's speaking in a much sharper way than he spoke the first time around. That's in general, and you see a particular example of this from the fact that there's no consolation at the end. There's no, you know, presentation of, you know, if you do this, everything will be okay. And this is obviously because Eov has become much more vocal, much more mechutzaf in his responses. So he's more of a rasha in Eliphaz's eyes. Excellent example of this, Apsukim Hey and Vav. We'll get up to them by reading the first few psukim here. He says, Vayan Eliphaz atemani vayomar, hechacham yane dat ruach vimale kadim bitno, should I answer this flowing, all-knowing speech? Should I fill my belly with air? Hachochech b'davar lo yizkonu milim lo yilbem, should I try and show you with words that don't accomplish anything and aren't helpful because you're not listening? Af atata fer yira v'tigra sichah lefne'el. You have abrogated the fear you're supposed to have, and you've spoken lowly. V'tigras echalif ne'el, ki ya'alef avonecha ficha, because sin has trained your tongue. V'tivchar lishon arumim, you choose the speech of the cunning. Yarshiacha ficha v'loani, you don't need me to show you as wicked. Your own mouth shows you as wicked. Usfatecha ya'anuvach, your lips answer you, because here you speak such heresy, right? You speak so terribly, so you yourself condemn yourself. This is definitely a far cry, a big step forward from the first time Eliphaz spoke to him, you know, with cushioning, everything's going to be okay, you should leave a little more, you should turn to God, things will turn around. And these first two psukim are really the beginning of the first part of the perek, which is his introduction to his point, where he attacks Eov for what he perceives as Eov's all-knowing and terrible speeches. Let's complete the introduction. Harishon Adam Tivaled, is man born first? For the snake vaot cholata, were you there before the hills were created? Habesod Elohat Tishma, are you there to hear the secrets of God? V'tikrai lecha chokma, has all chokma been lessened from everyone else and moved over to you? Maya data velo neidata vin velo imanuhu. What do you know that we don't know? Gam sav lo yasis banu. Kabir me'avichaimim. We have older people too. Gam sav. Gam yasis banu. He rejoices amongst us. Kabir me'avichaimim. He is older than your father in days. Hame'at mimcha tanchumot el. V'davar la'atimach. Is it too little for you, the consolation God gives you, all the things he gives you? Ma'i kachali becho o'mayir mezunei necha. Where is your heart lead? What are your eyes hinting to? Ki tashiv el el ruchecha v'hotzeita mipicha milin. Because you return, you want to return your spirit to God. You return it to him this way by speaking this way. And so negatively. Ma enosh ki yiskev chi etzdak yeludisha. What is man that he can be found to be correct, meritorious, that a mortal man can be righteous? Hein biktoshav lo yamin. You may remember in Perek Dalet, when Eliphaz the first time spoke about how God, you know, even his own angels, he doesn't believe in. He's so high from above them. He doesn't rely on them. Shamayim lo zaku ve'enav. Even the heavens aren't meritorious in his eyes. Afkin et avin ne'alach isho tek amayim avla. And you talk about yourself, a person who drinks iniquity like water. He's saying, who are you? What do you know? Etc. Achavcha shmali. I'll express myself and listen to me. This is what I've seen, and I'll tell over. Asher chachamim yagidu velo chichatu me'avotam, that the wise men will say, and not hold back. Lahem levadam nitna aret velo avar zar betocham. They themselves, only they who really understand, they are the ones who the world is given to, and no other can trespass. And what do the wise say? And this is where he begins his content. Pasuk chav. Kol yemei rasha hu mitcholel. Umispar shanim nitzbenu le'aretz. He's talking about the days of the wicked. The days of the Rasha are full of anguish. Kol yemei Rasha hu mitcholel. All the days of the Rasha are full of anguish. Umispar shanim nitzbenu le'aretz. and he has a limited number of years, are given to the, you know, to the Aretz, to the oppressor. And in these limited number of years that are full of anguish, kol pechadim biaznav, he always hears the voices that scare him. Bashalom shoded yovoenu, when he's at peace, he's also jumped by the robber, meaning he's constantly afraid of danger. He won't come out of the darkness. If it's a fuhu elei charef, and he's threatened by the sword. No deid hu lalechem, ayei yadaki nachon biyado yom choshech. He wanders around for his bread, wondering where it is. He knows that what awaits him is a day of darkness, a yom choshech. Chavdala divatu tsaru mitzuka. He's intimidated by suffering and distress. Titkefeu, they attack him. Kemelech atid lakidor, he is attacked by these threatening things like a king who is very powerful is destined for suffering. For some say kidor means Gehenna. What's he saying here about the life of the rasha? He's saying that a rasha may look outwardly to be enjoying, but because he knows that he's doing the wrong things, he's always afraid of what's coming. Even in the time of peace, he lives in fear. His days are darkness because he is constantly threatened and fearful, afraid of wars that are coming and other threats. What causes this? What causes the Rasha to suffer this way? Pasuk Chaf Hei. Ki nata el el yado el Shaddai yitgabar. Because he raises his hand against God and tries to fight against him. Yerutz elav bitzavar, he runs to him, against him, with his neck out, ba'avi gabei matnav, with his fat covering his loins, meaning he's full of himselfness. Kichisa fanav bechalbo, v'yas pima alechasel. He covers his face with his fat and blubber all over the rest of him. Meaning, what's the point? A rasha runs against God to attack God. The point is that when a person gets full of himself, which is the image he's describing, and then things happen that put him back, right, that frustrate him, and again, he's frustrated because he's full of himself. If a person wasn't full of themselves, they wouldn't have expectations that everything should be coming to them, and then they wouldn't be that frustrated when things don't come to them, the things they expect. But because the rasha is full of himself, then things don't happen the way he wants them to happen. So then he attacks God, he runs against God, and obviously he's referring here to Eov. So that's the key word in the beginning of Pasuk Chaf Hei that connects the lot of the Rasha with his way of relating to God. Pasuk Chaf Chet begins part 3, right? Again describing the life of the Rasha. We saw Chaf Hei through Chaf Zayin begins Ki and ends Ki. Ki Natay El Ki Chisaf Anav. Pasuk Chaf Chet. Vayishkon Arim Nechadot Batim Lo Yeshvu Lamo. He lives in cities that will be extinct, in houses that won't be settled, that will one day be heaps. Lo yeshar, he does not become rich. Lo yokum chelo, his strength does not stand long term. Velo yite la'aretz min lam, and his aspirations don't stand firmly on the ground. Lo yasur min yichoshech, like we said before, he won't ever escape darkness. Yonakto tiabe shalhavet, his what he nurses from will dry up. Will dry up v'yasur beruach piv, and it will be gone like the breath of his own mouth, that he's, you know, speaking all his words. Al yamein v'shav nit'ek hishav tiyet murato. His what replaces him will be nothing. He'll turn into nothing. Belo yomo timalei. Before his day is done, his life will be full. V'chipato lo ra'ana, and his nest will not refresh itself. Yachmos kagefen bisro, yelech kazayin nitzato. And his unripe fruit gets scattered, his blossoms fly like an olive tree, meaning his potential isn't realized. Ki, Pasuk Lamadalit, and I'm emphasizing this word because we saw ki as a key word in Pasuk Chaf Hei. We had the first round, Chaf to Chaf Dalit, he described the life and times, the suffering of the Rasha. Pasuk Chaf Hei, ki, he fights against God. Then he started in Pasuk Chavchet, a second round, He lives in a house that isn't stable, that will be uninhabited. His fruit doesn't ripen, right? Below Yomo, Pasuk Lamedet, below Yomo Timale. Before his day is full, his life, before his day, his life is full and over. Pasuk Lamedet, Ki Adat Chanef Galmud Ve'esh Ochla Ale Shochad. Let's focus on this Pasuk. Chanef, right? The panderer, the hypocrite. The group of the hypocrite is lonely. And fire will consume the tents of bribers, bribery. Why is hypocrisy lonely? Because in the end, when people realize someone is a hypocrite, they can't trust them. They can't respect them. They don't want to be with them. So ultimately, they're lonely. He's talking here about a particular form of Russia, right? The hypocrite. Haro amal v'yalod. Haro amal v'yalod. He conceives pregnancy of iniquity and births oven and bears destruction. Uvitnam tachin mirma, and their belly prepares trickery. These shame, these particularly hypocrites, panderers. So there's really two rounds here that are all about the life of a Rasha. And I think, before we get into some more of the details about the different relationship between the different rounds, I think the difference you see here between Eliphaz's second speech and his first speech, and we'll see it continuing on with the other speakers, right, Bildad, and then Sofar, I think the difference is that in the first round, Eov was complaining about the way a tzaddik suffers. The others were saying that a tzaddik doesn't suffer. If you turn to God, everything will be good for you, and he'll help you, and he'll redeem you, and things will be good. And Eov was saying, no, I'm a tzaddik, I'm righteous, and God is unfairly treating me this way. Here, the conversation is about the Rasha. It's a related issue, but it's the flip side. If we talk about the question of sachar v'onesh, of justice in the world, the question is, what happens with the tzaddik, what happens to the Rasha? If we're complaining about injustice, we're complaining about tzaddik viralo, rasha vitovlo. So Eov in the first round was complaining about tzaddik viralo. And the others were claiming that tzaddikim do benefit. Eliphaz is starting the second round by speaking about the fate of the rasha. Someone who's a tzaddik is going to live happily. Someone who's a rasha is going to suffer the way being described here. And a lot of the images he's using are things Eov spoke about in his own life in the first round, about his fears and his difficulties and his lack of peace and security. What Eliphaz is saying is that's the lot of the Rasha. And if that's what you are feeling, it's indicative of who you are. Now, as we saw, there's two rounds here. The first round, Psukim Chaftu Chaftalit, he talks about the fear, the life of difficulty, of darkness. In the second round, Psukim Chavchet through Lamed Gimel, again, he's talking about the life of the Rasha, but I think the difference is that in the second round, he's talking about how the Rasha doesn't ripen. He doesn't live out his life. If we look back to the first round, particularly to Pasuk Chaf, he said, Kol Yimei Rasha Hu Mitcholel, all of his days, he's afraid. Hu Mispar Shanim Nitzbenu La'aretz, and he has a limited lifetime that's given to the oppressor. But he has his lifetime. It might be difficult, but he has his lifetime. The second round, he's emphasizing how his life is shortened and he dies before he can ripen. Take a look at Pasuk Lamed Bet. Below Yomo Timale. Right? He's stunted. His life is full and over before his time. Before his time is meant to be up. That a Rasha, not only is his quality of life not good, but the length of his life is shorter. Now, Eov had focused on the end of man and his wish for himself to die. Eliphaz answers him from the same place. Right? The end of man's life, of a Rasha, is very sad. And I think you can say that he's, you know, when he's talking about the fate of the Rasha, he's seeing Eov as an example of this. Eov said that all the time when things were good for him, he was afraid that things would change for the worse. Yeah, because you knew there was something wrong with you. Like we saw Eov offering the korbanot because he was afraid about where he was. Now you find yourself in the situation you were afraid of because you knew all along that you had these issues. So again, like in the first part of the book, it's not a pure conversation about theoretics. You know, what happens with the tzaddik, what happens with the rasha. And on the other hand, it's not just about Yov, but it's the meshing between the two. It's talking about the theory in reference to Eov. It's saying that Rishaim suffer, and building off Eov's imagery of his own life as the way Rishaim suffer, and as a way of saying to Eov that his suffering is because he's a Rasha. The difference is, it's not understanding what happens to the life, to a tzaddik in his life, it's about understanding what happens to the Rasha.